Gene Scudder for the Youngstown State University Oral History Program, February 28th, 1974. First, Dr. Scudder, I have a list of some of the dates and events in the university's history, and I wonder if you see any serious omissions.
I think that 1930 date is wrong. I think that was 31, but I don't know if I checked it. I came here in the fall of 30, and the first degree was granted at spring, which would be 31. That's the way I recall it. And John didn't become president in 1931. He came in here as director of the school. The head man was Nippes in 30, and he was still the head, I think, in the spring of 31, and when the degree was granted. So Mr. Jones is brought in as director to supersede Nippes. And then a number of our faculty members did not like the term director. We wrote a respectful letter to the board asking that he be made president. And I remember meeting James Wick, Mr. James Wick down on the, he was chairman of the board, stating that he would be made president. So those dates are a little bit wrong. That's a little bit ambiguous there. And he's checking into. Because as I remember now, the first degree was granted in 31. And Mr. Jones brought that, whether he was designated as director before that graduation time or whether it was after, but now I came as director. And I remember distinctly I signed a letter that four of us faculty members, Professor Bowden, Dr. Ford, Dr. Rich, and I signed a letter suggesting that, whether that had anything to do with it, I don't know. But I know we wanted that, and so he became, as we call, president then, at that time. And I very distinctly remember that situation. I know he was not a member of the Mr. James Wick meeting me on the street and saying that Mr. Jones would be made president of that institute. Now these other dates, I just don't really, couldn't get the exact dates, most of these later on. Now the first building, which is now known as Jones Hall, was built it was started I think during that 30-31 year, and I think it was finished occupancy the next fall, so it was nothing is made mention of that. And there would be an item that's the building now known as Jones Hall was started. The money had Mr. Skaggs had gotten pledges for money for a college building for expansion of the Central YMCA and of the West Federal Street YMCA. And so the next one, and I think that that work was started during the school year of 1930-31. I can't remember just when we moved into it. And that housed practically everything then, excepting the, I think the secretarial school was over in the other building, which was the college building previous to the Jones Hall being built. Now, there was another thing. There was a YMCA preparatory school operated here for several years. That was discontinued, again, just about the time that the first degree was conferred. I think it was when I came here, the fall of 3031, there was an old wick residence to it. And where it stood, there was a school, a preparatory school. Mr. Craig, I believe, headed that up. And that, I think, was discontinued either that spring or the following year. And the new building, so it was a good deal of transition right at that time. That transition started during the years of 3031. And the year I came in, it was a very depression year, jobs were very scarce. I remember I met Mr. Newbass down at Columbus, and then a few months later on, there were four of us brought in. Bowden, who had a master's degree, maybe a master's, I don't recall his training, again, the records should show that. And Dr. Ford and Dr. Rich himself were brought in four. And there were two other full-time teachers. That was Eleanor North and John Baer. There were a number of part-time teachers, I don't recall who they were. And that was the nucleus. The school at that time. And so forgetting the then that really this school started to grow slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mr. Jones came in, I think. He came at least in 31, but what time at 31 he took over, I don't know. Whether it's towards the fall or just, it must have been long about that time. Those dates are not clear on at all. And I don't know the date that Dana was affiliated. I don't recall the date of now, we were accredited by the AHA, I don't know what it's called, an association, the AHA College's accrediting group, before this North Central. And then we got to North Central. Engineering becomes the William Moore School, that seems about right. That seems about right. The library building in 1523 Town Hall, Todd Hall, that's probably about right. Science Building 59, yes, that's the first part of the Science Building. Department of Education, we came in school that late, I thought we said earlier. Kilcally Tuna Center. And they were at Beecher Science Hall, which was about 67. Yes, I see, so far as I know, nothing out of line on that.
Okay.
But I do think you had some interesting story back there earlier that would be well to go into. I don't think you... I can't remember those dates exactly, but I don't think your research is complete on that at all. But you go back to the old catalogs there, and you'll find there was a preparatory school that was discontinued. The law school was one of the strongest law schools in the country. That's a law school, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It had a very good record, turned out some very good people. And the business school ran along the night school for quite a number of years before it became a day school.
What were your first impressions of the college at that time? How big was it?
Well, it was very small. So say that was the Depression year, 1930. No jobs, any place, donuts. And the school was small, but they had people who were interested. I'm interested in your past. It's a very interesting, dedicated fellow to the school. I don't know if he's an outstanding administrator, but he was trying to do a job. Buchanan was a registrar and their field man. And Miss Flint was on the job as her, in the job she held for years. Very efficient person. So the first year I came, we had Nearpass. Administrative Nearpass. Buchanan. Frieda Flint. That about constituted the administrative staff. And in the full-time faculty, it was John Baer and Eleanor North. And the four of us came in. Well, of course, it was not a thing to get enthused at, but it did look like with the energy and the start that Mr. Gary Glenn, Skaggs had put in, that it had some future to it. And it's not on that basis that most of us come. Today with the depression, although things sure didn't look one such thing to come to, it did look hope. In other words, rather exceptional that a school was getting that money coming to it at that time, like Youngstown did at that time. I know that was a remark that was made, though. There's many schools that could do that in this depression time. Jobs were very scarce, both teaching and other jobs. But again, the attitude was fine. I remember he was under the YMCA at the time. I remember after I was employed, I received a letter from various members of the YMCA staff. Welcome. You have a feeling of a great deal of welcome and greeted very pleasantly. So that thing was a very fine atmosphere. They had some financial struggles through. The YMCA had struggles at the time, so there wasn't too much money going in. In fact, that was the case all the way through. I think, frankly, a tremendous contribution, and I'm speaking now selfishly, was made by the faculty in working at the low salary because they saw it as the essential thing, you know, in helping to establish the school. They made not ideal financial sacrifice in doing that. They might have moved on. I know I could have moved at one time. I had an offer of a job. And I went to President Jones at the time. I talked to her about the future of the school looked like, and it looked like the school was moving into the things. And so that was the saying that held the faculty here, was they see that the school had a future to it, you know. It came more slowly than we had all hoped for. But nevertheless, it did come. When I came here, the chemistry department consisted of myself and a part-time teacher named Mr. Clare. When I left in 68, we had, I believe it was 19 full-time, I remember, all with Dr. Sturries. That was the story. Now, of course, the chemistry department had sort of a favorite position here because of the need for the work. Now, we had charge before the engineering school was started. We organized metallurgy work. I started metallurgy work. We had assaying work and testing work before the engineering school started. So we had a number of students who, although their degree came in chemistry, they had a considerable amount of metallurgy work. I'd had engineering work, some worked on a doctor's degree. So it gave that a start. So the metallurgy department had considerable enrollment when it was first organized then, at the time. So when that came, it turned over. They became part of the engineering school. Then later on, there were some of the students wanting a greater amount of science work than they were getting in the engineering degree. So we reestablished it after the BS was granted, the BS degree in chemistry with a metallurgy option, which the first students took. Incidentally, that BS degree, it doesn't speak of when that was listed, you better find that out. That BS degree was more or less offered to us to take. And I largely, again, not being conceited to give you, I had the largest department. I was most concerned in the science work, you know. Mm-hmm. So largely, I set up that BS in engineering to be offered. Feeling that a science person needs a broad background also, not just in narrow science, I set up and went through the BS degree requiring 136 semester hours. That let them get a good degree in chemistry or any other science. We were about the one to offer it for years, and at the same time, get a considerable amount of work in their social science, history, English, and those things. So it did not shorten the work down the district. And this was so strong, that it made our degree strong. Our students were very happy to take it. Our good students took the BS degree rather than any degree they wanted to get this under 36 hours, because they go out and compete with many students with a master's degree. Here was an incident we had to show the I'm sorry to see this BS degree cut back on the level, not what on my side. At the World War II, I sent a boy, William Axel, I believe, was a boy, went up to Sandusky, got a job with a explosive plant there, forget about that plant was going out, in making TNT line, I think. And so the next year, I sent up four more boys for interviews there. And they went in, they were told there were no jobs. But the fellow who arrived at Chapman, he says, where are you from? They said, Youngstown College. Of course, Youngstown College. Then. All of us said, right. So So on the record of Axon made, and the first we had here, those all four got jobs. So at one time we were running over half of the lines as our chemists were, the control people, more than half those lines to send us the explosives. So it was a thing that was needed. Of course, we taught. I ran some more courses here and taught working explosives. Incidentally, during the War II, we started in with these ESMDT courses, engineering, it's MDT, Engineering Science Management Defense Training. That was headquartered down at Columbus. We go down there once a month or such a matter for general coordination of the work. We had to carry our engineering courses through CASE. We carried our administration through Western Reserve. The chemistry was able to carry chemistry directly. So we were authorized by the U.S. government to offer the engineering courses through, of course, they had to get the courses approved. Then you have to authorize the program. And the administrative courses through Western Reserve, our chemistry courses through Youngstown. So in our Youngstown, we had the chemistry, medicine, various courses dealing with the things we needed. You know, then one of our men was a public steel again, it was Sweeney. I made their mark to me one time. He says, I don't know what we'd done without some of those courses. Some of our boys started in, you know. So we had a lot from, and we had teachers from the deals. We had Holberson from U.S. Steel. We had people from Sheeton, too. We pulled in the people from the special departments to teach those courses. So we rendered a tremendously good service through this. In fact, we were running about a third of the college during that time. Our staff was cut back in all the departments. And we were running about a third of the school under these ESMD. And they, then later became the war training course after we were in the war, in the ESMW training courses. And, we felt it. And that was the thing that, again, speaking of my department, that we tried to do was first look at the student, what we'd give them, and the second, what we'd do for the locality, because our money came from the industry. We owed it to them to try to give a training that went back to them, which I think we did quite well. And that was there's been a change in college attitude a great deal. From the time I was in schools, I graduated too. But looking at the student is the first thing, and the faculty, and these moneyed research programs which brings money into the school, much more of a minority. But now, I think sometimes we forget the student in seeking some of these grants. That's not true. And I think the school has lost a little bit there in moving away from putting the student way down to the freshman level. That's the first thing. The tendency to look after the graduate student pretty well, but not very much about the undergraduate. Mm-hmm. We ran through here in our chemistry work trying to have the students meet the regular full-time faculty in both the lecture and the laboratory work. And always when they get graduate work, they tend to swing those laboratories over to graduate assistants. Sometimes good and sometimes bad. Of course, we have bad faculty members running the laboratory. But it shows the difference of the emphasis. The way it used to be where the instructor or the professor was in the laboratory as against the student who might or might not be interested in the student too much. He wants his grant. So I think it's a thing our school has missed. They have much more money. They can buy equipment. They can do the things they want. But again, I'm not sure it's giving the student all that he should have. That is that feeling that the school is there for his benefit and he appreciates it. We had almost no feeling of antagonism between the faculty and students back in the early days. There was a feeling that they were a body. Faculty was there for them and they were there to do a good job and they appreciated what the faculty were doing. And we've lost that with this money's drawn in. It's not only in schools, it's everywhere, you know. Dollar sign has kind of defeated our story of good teaching, good government officials too, all the way through. Not whether I'm giving anything you want or not, but yes. I'm running along. Yeah, of course, I apologize. That's one of the personal story because it's that thing I saw, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew what I did. I don't know. Some of the other parties, what they didn't do so much, you know. But I can see my master knowing what I were trying to do. Incidentally, I had some very devoted backer through. I went with her for years. He's the oldest man on the faculty, Dr. Cohen. And Dr. Bridget was for years. She was with me longer than Cohen has been so far. And I had Dr. Paul Perry here as a student, later as a faculty member. And there's a lot of people that have in general, we've been very fortunate that our chemistry faculty through all have had that feeling of law to this to the school. Of course, I hope I'll be able to get that. See, I'd have a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. The thing I saw. When I was employing teachers, the general state laws were employing first is teaching, second is research. Of course, we couldn't offer much research now, so it had to be that, whether I wanted to or not. But that was the way I felt. And so consequently, we always had quite a nice, well-made, and I felt our work in progress. Now, of course, some of these things, I think, if you could talk to some of those, you might get a slight interview, and you should. And rather just see it as I do on these things. I think Mr. Jones in the library has been here long enough to see a lot of things from the outside now to say, down to the faculty person, he gets a pretty good cross-section of all the faculty. The other administrative people, Pickard is gone. Rook is kind of seen a good deal of that change and know the story a good deal. Most of the others are new. I don't know how much they have seen into these things. There's very few of the officials in here now. Mm-hmm. They were here when I was here. Rook came in just about a couple of years before that. Presiding was Pickard. Mrs. Smith has been on the staff here for years. Of course, she can give me a lot of desirable background and things.
Did the chemistry expand more rapidly than the rest of the college?
Yes.
Because of the local need?
Of course, I would like to say it was all much of it was due to me. I hope part of it was, and a good faculty. But there was the need here part, and we, as I say, the two things. We have pride in students. I'm always very proud of the student, the placement of our students. I go back to that record. I show them. And I cited the one particular case there going to Sandusky. I had the same sort of thing, standard one in Indiana, placing one or two students in, going back the next year and placing more. And so our placement of students, our students with this BS compete with the students with a master's degree. And so I think putting out good students and trying to shape our work to meet the needs of the valley. And they needed the chemists because there's no chemistry training, you see. And then we had some very good people in the mill. U.S. Steel, I had two or three people. Harry Holbrook was one of our members, director considerably on it, and made a contribution. Incidentally, there at U.S. Steel, by the reason our relationship there was so good. I had a young boy named Jimmy O'Brien, to a major in chemistry. As I get it, he was from a fairly large family, not too well at the table. His money, large money in there. So he was working in the steel mills. He's going to school. He's assisting with me and doing A and B work. I asked him one time, when he was doing all this work, how he's able to keep awake in class. His remark was, says, well, when I feel myself getting sleepy, I ask a question. Well, I remember you did that. Well, that young fella rose to a foreman, superintendent, and I think the vice president of the U.S. Steel. Larry Anderson, another of those records through. So, as I say, that is the thing that I felt made our critics band. I tried to select teachers that are interested in teaching, interested in students. That was the thing I looked at when I went for a teacher. And then I think they saw that. So the psychology, and they saw it anyhow. And so with those 2 points, yes, our department was the department which grew. We had very sympathetic listener and follower, President Jones. I never went to President Jones with any request unless I felt I had a reason for it. I remember one time, I never did explain to President Jones on that. One time, Gordon made the remark to President Jones, that he, Scudder said, the way to get things around here, this place, is ask for a little at a time. Well, I did say essentially that. But there, against one of these things taken out of content. What I went on to say was this. If you had the need for something, you'll get that thing as she did. In other words, instead of taking a grand dose thing, kind of jump in and get a great big thing, as she was developed, organize that need and present it, and you get it. Well, Ford, as he told on to President Jones, was, It's sort of a, what you call, sort of a slick way of doing it, you know. You grab a little thing here, and then you grab something, a little thing there, you know. But that wasn't the story. It was a question that was needed. So it worked for that. Through. And so I had a very sympathetic ear from President Jones. And he was very nice to me. I don't think I ever went to President Jones where I, if the finance was brilliant, and I had a just case, but what I, he tried to operate good to me. And that was the way it was through. There's another thing through, too. I think that the faculty felt that President Jones was interested in the welfare of the family. He was, our school's not good, but the sickness and those things through, President Jones was very quick to see that that family was helped as much as he could. We all were a lot better sideways. But then that was a very humane thing. President Jones stood very high in my estimation of.
Did the needs of the community and the interests of the students change as time went on?
Not appreciably as long as I was here. We had not gotten into graduate work. I don't recall ever any feeling of students coming in and feeling that they were wrongly treated, oh, little minor thing, I mean, but anything, you know, that they really had a thing, really, a cry about it through. And I think they all got to come in and discuss things with us. So, no, I didn't see it. We had, following World War II, we had a number of older boys came back, the GI Bill, you know. Some of them had the best ability in the world, but some were outstandingly good. But we had such an interesting a group of students in. And that was when our chemistry program went so very high. All these students coming back in and taking the chemistry. We had some outstanding students. Some of them, of course, got the degree and went on from there. Now, we have quite a number of students here. We got a AB or a BS in chemistry, preferably the BS in thing making. Then went on to medicine school. Well, of course, it took them instead. I know I made just a little study of my own on, through the medical school, I wrote the deans of the medicine school, asked them what they advised. Bar a medicine student. Well, it happened, of course, that'd be nice for me again. The answer came back this. If they're an outstanding good student, it didn't matter much what they majored in. If they were a poor student, the thing that would do them probably the most good to see whether they make medicine to do a good little work in chemistry. In other words, they wanted the weak student to concentrate on that science work. And of course, they have said that a little because they're writing to me. But in other words, what they wanted was that science work. Yes, they were good in that sort of thing. They liked to get them social sciences and histories and psychology and those things. They weren't as much concerned in that science because they pick enough that up with their medicine. But if they were poor students, then they wouldn't have time for that broader expansion. Mm-hmm. So there again, this AB degree is against the BS degree. Our story. I think that is a trouble. Through every department, through all schools, has looked too much at their own selfish gaining in that department. To my notion, a person who's only for chemistry is missing something. Well, going only for history is missing something. I don't care where you are. And that was the why of this BS degree, 136 hours. And I still saw it. And they wanted it. You know, they almost felt a disgrace. In other words, they apologized to me. Maybe that's about the attitude. You know, if they can get the BS, they did. Because it gave them so much better information. And all of the good students took the BS degree. That's what they were doing for themselves. And of course, they decided to help the school because the tuition were 36 rather than 24. So it worked a mutual benefit. Helped our department, helped the school, and it helped the student.
What were most students being prepared for? Were they thinking of work in this area, or were they going on to, were many going on to medicine or graduate work?
Quite a number. I don't know how we had a lot of students out of graduate work, but out in industry. No, I don't know if they good to students, not too much necessarily staying local. Come on, a good job. I don't know if they put the tag on where they went. We had our students going, said, to Whiting, Indiana, Sandusky, down the energy plant down here in Ohio. I had a girl go down there, place very nice. I can't remember that down South Columbus, one of our girl graduates in chemistry. We had a lot of them went to medicine school. Most of the, as I say, they went to be an outstanding student. They went to medicine school and the BS in chemistry. And we had a went to graduate. I think our department sent more to graduate school than any other department. Of course, it was, we turned out more graduates there. That's what we're turning out. Yes, we had, down with my school, we had some very poor five out there. Dr. Street went down. Didn't have so many go to Ohio State, Western Reserve, Case, Carnegie. Yes, here's another thing. Events of things. I mean, we used to run open houses about every year. Had a boy came to me, and I don't know if you know the room over there between the two towers. That's where we had an organic lab there, talking about that floor. He had to come up, two desks through there. So we counted like 15 or 20 students in there, pretty nice and working. So he was interested. He was in the American Tower Products, I think it was called, up here on Logan. He wanted to set up something on that. I says, fine. He started in one month. My name is Dennis Devine. And so before I got through, he had that whole laboratory filled with a petroleum refining story, carrying through from the stages that they clear through, the finished product showing some of the products we got off. I don't know just which ones were now, but some, quite a number of finished products. And the boss came down, probably told him, the boss came down and looked over at this boy's spot. He was there all the time, disgusting. Very much impressed with it. This boy then sent to Carnegie, got a graduate chemistry there, BS degree incidentally. He was sent over to Carnegie Tech at the school's expense. That company's taken over Copper's company. That's the Copper's company sent the boy to school to graduate to work. Now those are the type things, as I say, we strove for. Mm-hmm. Was that question of it? That was the outstanding thing, where the student came to me on his own there, wanted to set that thing up. I asked him if they set up a project to carry it through in good shape. Well, he not only carried through, went beyond, went so much that I gave him the whole laboratory there, and he supervised that whole setup. As a result, from that, got this scholarship to get his doctorate in Carnegie Tech.
Did the role of the chemistry department or sciences in general change in the university from when you first came to Wheatland? Did the role change?
You mean the sum total? I don't know what you mean by this.
No, the function of the department.
Oh, I see. No, I don't think it had changed appreciably. Long as you're a graduate, that's always going to change the department. You see. I just got the graduate work approved the year I left. And no, I would say through. Now, of course, we didn't have the engineering team. The engineering school came in. That pulled away a certain fraction of our students. You know, but we still had plenty. And the medical technology work increased. The pre-nursing work increased. So we had a larger percent of medical technology students than pre-nursing. And so that went down to expense for our senior graduate. But no, it's our role that we tried to play in the chemistry department, and they stayed quite constant all the way through. And to say, I never had any feeling of this gap between the students and the faculty. They seemed to have a different kind of stuff. We had none of that. You know, to me, you feel on this. To me, it seems that a tear striking is not the attitude of a teacher. It shouldn't have to be. Maybe it has to be. I don't know. I'm not in it now to know. But it's just too bad to have that in. Whether it has been brought on by the outside or whether it's brought on the faculty, I don't know. I don't know who's to blame for it. But I do think it's an unfortunate circumstance. However it came.
Local industry with the university.
Insofar as I know, quite good. I know they were pretty generous with the money alone. And I want to speak of my department. We had lovely working. I think most outstanding was U.S. Steel. And second was I don't know. But she can do better with other pub huge she can too. I think the number is more limited in the two those two Industries, Newbar and the, and the U.S. Steel. But we took her students through, we never took them through, yes, we, no, I went through public, nobody was students that went through public. We went through Sheet Duke, we went through U.S. Steel quite a number of times. Glen Alpha, the Carnegie Illinois, Glen Alpha, Steel Street. And so they, and they were very good on trying to help the students to get the work here. I speak of Jimmy O'Brien, one of our students through the rivers, but he was the one most outstanding. And then we brought in these teachers from U.S. Steel, Culberson, and two of them. So I had some fun with them too, and some Republic. Donald Babcock, U.S. Public Steel was very helpful. He was the head of the metallurgy work. He was a fifth chemist. Then in the Sheet and Duke, we had Carl Fetters, very helping. When I was running the metallurgy work, he came and helped me organize that and taught on your different outside of a good job. There again, that's why I got to see Metal. Fetters was, couldn't have got a better man in it, you know. So that's how that worked. I put the nails very helpful. And I recall when you were setting up some of these war programs that the president of Sheet and Duke. Oh, what's your name? I've obviously prep for years.
Klaus Brennan?
Klaus Brennan? No. Before him.
Mothy?
No. Before him. He came to the meeting that was there. It just won't come to mind, no. Yeah. He rose from the ranks in the president's concern. I know it just well enough, it just won't come to me. You began to look back and find that story. But he was very confident. You know, he met for the mayor and gave us all the help he could. At the moment where I remember the head officer meeting Fetters. Of course, Carl Fetters was a research man, later became vice president. I don't know what his position is now, what she'd do since his other concerns come in. My, many of the older fellows have lost their promotion rank. And they kind of hit chemist out at Carnegie, Illinois. Very nice, working with a bigger group suite, personally conducting through sometime when out there. Then they, Ohio Leather Works, I don't know how many times took the groups up there. The Shenango Pottery Company, and our students over there. So we had lovely cooperation with the industries through G&E, Lampham County on South Side. Interesting one, I think, G&E kind of there, you know, the place we're doing. And to the, we were also exactly, we were over at Akron, Goodyear, the research laboratories. We had students over in the research laboratories in Goodyear. Incidentally, one of our former professors, John Naples. During the World War, we had to temporarily turn off faculty members, so he was let go. He went over and got a job there, did some very fine work. When he wanted to come back, he was doing too well over there. We didn't get him back again. And what are we doing? He was one of our graduates. He got his doctorate in Indiana. And came back here teaching in Goodyear, Akron.
What about the rest of the community? What was their attitude toward the university, especially in the early years?
Oh, there was, as any time, a small local place, a considerable criticism. There was poor work here, and I suppose we did poor work in chemistry, too. But also, you get a good work. My feeling in most any school, if you're looking for poor work, you can find the teacher, you get the poor work. If you're looking for good work, you can find the teacher, you get the good work. And the ones that most criticize most probably are the ones that knew the least about it. Certainly. Here's the type thing. I had one time a boy went up to Clarham College. He reported back he wouldn't accept his chemistry work up there. I thought that was funny. I knew the chemistry instructor, Dr. Pauls, very nice personal relationship with him. So I went back into this list of records. I found his work in chemistry as D. And that was your answer. Of course, yes, they wouldn't accept it. No school would. Yes, we had some problem with getting our work accepted. It largely had to be the department, again, as I say, with getting us the STP and this extra reading we had. We sort of got a running start on it. And so we had extremely good back. We had criticism, but again, I never felt ever heard of any severe criticism we got correctly. I don't remember any real missiles at the Department of Defense criticism. But in general, the work was to be made by some individual instructor, which was deserved, possibly. I think in general, it was a synthetic. However, there's some. That, now, there was a difference in schoolmanship and on the principle in the schools. We had out at Cheney a very good disciplinary out there. They had a few students from Cheney that came in. They're always wonderful. Same way with East High. We had that too. So much of it depended on who the teachers were and directed things. So, and of course, in science again, who our science teachers were. We had a good science teacher out there. Cheney, but East High. I got acquainted with it. That makes a difference. You know, if you're acquainted with people and they know you, you get that synthetic. I see as a whole that we probably pair discipline as well as any small school. I went first my college to a small school, Danville, Indiana. Or again, it had good and bad work. And you could offer an awful lot of criticism at Danville. But again, I know there was some good work there because of there myself. I did almost 2 years work there for transferred to Indiana. But you get bad work in Indiana, you get bad work. So this isn't about schools, I'm sure. There's bad work. There's sometimes you get someone in on records and so on that too darned easy or too tough and those things. I knew Stradley, who was vice president, head of admissions down to Ohio State. He came up here visiting school. This thing pleased me very much. Blowing my horn here a little bit. But then, the only thing I give is my own story. So I met him. That's where I had met him. I met him on the stairs. He's down at Jones Hall. And introduced myself. He said, oh, yes. Well, he had always felt the chemistry department was one of the strong departments of school. Well, you know, the thing that can do that. So there again, I didn't get as much of that criticism as probably some others did. We just happened to have a running start on them. See, not biology, they didn't have nothing math. They didn't have a full-time teacher in there for years. So it got a slower start. And I was in here as the ground floor. And then this need in the mills. I had a distinct advantage. And I hope I make proper use of it. There's the story. So when I happen to speak of that, it's recognized that circumstances helped me tremendously.
When the university, the college's association with the YMCA stopped when the college became financially independent. Was there a noticeable change then?
No. No, see, there's no change in administration. The president of the board stayed the same. They, you see, before they came off the YMCA, there'd been a change there. Mr. Skaggs, who started in the ill and committed suicide. Great trouble, I don't just love it. Another man who moved in as head of that, can't think of his name right now, very stepped to that children. He was very much left the college. So the transition was very, so far as I know, it was very smooth and nice. We hardly realized the YMCA was in control. So it was more a matter of form than anything else when it officially went over.
It wasn't something sudden or it wasn't not a big
issue?
It was
a grand time. See, the schools had been doing that. You take Fenn College up at Cleveland, had been a YMCA school, and it had gradually gone away. That had been the tendency for the schools, and all church schools, too, to more independent of the government picture. No, there was nothing abrupt in the thing there at all, as I recall.
Was it something that people felt strongly about? Did they think it was important for the...
I think, in general, I think the attitude of people was that a school should be, I think it's, the church domination and the YMCA dominates the school. I think the policy as a whole is quite satisfactory. I don't believe in the YMCA there was any, at least I never heard of it. I don't think this man, his brother was in the park working there. I cannot think of his name. Anyhow, I don't think he had any impetus towards the school separating from him. He was the general secretary at the time. And as far as my talk was concerned, we had on the board some very fine people. We had Judge Eugene Bennett. We had Wiggins, the chairman of the board. And, I can't open my Google to, I think, our first, that were big people in the town. And I don't mean big in the sense that they threw the weight around. They were strong. So that made the transition pretty easy. I think there again, I don't know how much President Jones was responsible, but he succeeded in having quite a good board behind him most of the time. And that was very helpful.
What about the change from college to university? Was that mostly a change in name? Was the college really a university in fact?
Yes, you might say. I remember hearing a criticism on that. It says, I don't see why that school should be a university. It doesn't have graduate work. Well, of course, that isn't the definition of university anyhow. It was a university in organization to a great extent before. But see, it had the school, I think the School of Education, before the university became a university. And then, anyhow, it was approaching that. The Department of Education had become large. They business that. Now, see, those are the two things that grew later. See, all this educational training. So the beginning start, which I've been talking about, was the chemistry beginning. Then with all this teacher training came in, swing towards that. Education part, you know, had tremendous growth, and business school did. So we had the business school we had. They went to law school, I think, before we went to university. I don't know you would have that data here. I don't. But, no, I can't think right now of a thing that changed when we went, so far as I was concerned, from a college to university. And you feel a little bit bigger, you know, that is all.
What were the problems or the concerns of the later part of your experience here? Had it changed? Say the first half and the second half, what were the changes in the attitudes and feelings of the faculty and the students?
Well, I would say there's no change that was marked at all, although it became a university, you see. That, of course, changed the setup tremendously, some of the good, some of the bad, so the organization was different then. But no, the thing was a rather gradual growth. Right about the last year, probably would have been without going to university, because we expanded so much in our chemistry layer. See, our enrollment had gone up so high, gone up to this 19 student. We tried to hold, incidentally, there. One reason why I tried to hold teaching body, so the faculty members, or good faculty members, had a lecture course, and that lecture course is split in maybe three laboratory work, and the instructor had the lecture, the discussion period in the laboratory. I had planned for the year to retire, and Dr. Rand didn't follow through with it. I was going to put three instructors as a unit. They'd have three lectures about the care of all the freshman students, and each on three laboratories, but they wouldn't do all that lecture. Number one, say if this one, he would take a certain phase of work, he was supposed to adapt in. So they'd take a third of the lecture, they only have a third of the lecture. That would lighten the load so they could spend the time in the laboratory. But if let that instructor, with his students, go through the lecture, through the discussion period, and through the laboratory without overburdening too much. Or they could be around as the state is coming to organize, I don't know. But, as I say, we had no announcing. There again, the faculty had gone slowly, and we had kept very much along, they seemed like. So we had no eruption. But it was changing rapidly. See, the change of administration, everyone seemed different. There's a change, some always, when you get a new administration, the change, some are for the good and some for the bad. And then the growth, and then the money that came in. See, there are three things that changed. Administration changed, growth changed, and money changed. We were very handicapped on money all the way through. A problem. I bought a piece of apparatus, cost $600. That was I had the plan for it in all grade. We could justify the story. But after the game stake, oh my goodness, $600 piece of apparatus dropping the bucket, you know. There again, you see the emphasis. I had in schools have gone toward this money buying. Mm-hmm. It's nice to have it, but I'm not sure that it improves teaching in proportion to the money spent. Sometimes I think about some of my classes I'll have back in the least equipment I had, I got the most out of it sometimes. You had to improvise, you learned to do things. There's only one to do it, both ways. No, I would say there was no change of attitude of students or faculty through all the years this year. However, the change was coming, you know, tremendously, that increased in enrollment, which went up, you know, tremendously high just before I left, and of course it's been on the down slope since. And not because I went out, but because that's the condition of the schools. And then the change in administration, the change in the amount of money, and the regulations of Burgoyne State, you see, that administration of state, more money, was bringing them. I think I worked harder in very detailed administration work the last year that I was at Twin State. See, I was 1 year at Twin State. And I did, and then in 2 years before, I turned in a report. One month after another, four almost identical reports, you know, because of rent corn, and no one's fault, but that's just the way it was. In other words, it just went too fast. I think, well, they're getting out of the breakdown now. But it's a thing we find. Hard to sort out, beginning what's good changes, what's bad. There's always needed changes. There's always changes developing later. But I'm rather on the conservative angle, thinking changes should go a little more slowly, as needed, rather than because we get an inspiration. Mm-hmm. Education has gone through so many changes in the way of approaching things. It's something starting to throw it over towards the bed. And because someone was able to set an idea.
But now that after the change to the state university, I suppose the increase in available money and the expansion be both good and bad.
That's right, yes. The money should be very good. But any time we have money, we tend to write some of our pet notes if we want, because we can get them out. And some of those pet notes are good and some of them are very bad. No, change for change is not good. Change for the sake of improvement, fine. But sometimes we don't distinguish between.
At the time you left, what was the state of community relations and cooperation with industry and the reputation of the chemistry department and the university as a whole?
I would say good. No, I don't think that any deterioration. I think it was a school's growing. I think each year growing in the estimation. I think that the School of Education went through a period of criticism there because, see, there was a swing towards a much demand of this teacher training bit that I trained in out of school. That it expanded faster than it could care for. And the English department, see, was putting so many people in their freshman English, you know, that the work couldn't be organized. There's criticism there. But again, as I don't let the department as much as those conditions hard to meet them. Just like when the went state and all this money and the science coming in, it's hard to meet all these changes without some confusion. That's when the popular Simon is having. He's got a tremendous story. He's the best man in the world. I don't know how good he is, but he's got a problem.
I don't want to take up much more of your time. What do you think of the future of the chemistry department here now? Is it going to continue to expand? Is there still the local demand?
I would imagine. I haven't talked to Dr. Rand about that, how he's feeling on that. They, as I say, started the authorized for giving the degree just the year I left and he came in here. They have, I think, some 12 to 15 students graduate school, which is plenty for them at the present time. I think they feel some. And how much is being slanted towards industry, I don't know. I was trying to the master to get a phase of metallurgy work. And the science setup, I don't think that went through. So I don't know how much. I don't know how much it slants towards industrial needs now, or not, but local needs, or whether it's training for going on for doctor's degree. I just can't answer that question about that. Bram seems to be a very interested, energetic woman. I think he's putting himself into the work from that standpoint. All that comes to a very nice shape.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.